You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. Last show, we were looking at the process of becoming a multiplier. Next topic area is challenging students. Meredith Bryna was in her second year of teaching high school. The class was a specialized topic, which meant four grade levels were in the same class. She was overwhelmed with the enormous range of abilities in her class. One student was taking exams 2 years ahead of schedule, while another was taking exams 2 years behind schedule. And there was no foreseeable way to reduce her class size. Therefore, Meredith took the 30-day challenge. As she put on her multiplier glasses, she suddenly saw how underutilized many of her students were. She selected her top all-around student, Byron, and asked him to assume the role of a student leader for the class. She confessed that the role was new and did not yet have clear goals. She seeded some ideas for goals and extended a concrete challenge to him: define and fulfill this role in a way that next semester the class would continue the tradition. Byron went from being a solid student to being an active leader in the class. He selected several other students to work with him, and together they organized academic competitions between her class and other classes in the district, all on their own time. When Meredith asked Byron how fully he was being engaged, he said that he probably went from 60 to 110%. That's almost two times increase from the person who was already a high-performing student. And he increased the engagement of the rest of the class in the process. Debate in Dodgeville. Roughly every 6 months, the inventory management division at Land's End, based in Dodgeville, Wisconsin, would get an urgent request from the executive management team for a new approach to forecasting. When this request comes in, the senior inventory managers typically lock themselves in a room and find a band-aid tool that satisfies the immediate request. Inevitably, the band-aid comes loose, and those people uninvolved and underutilized in the decision-making process were then overworked, trying to force the plan to work. But this time it was different. The entire inventory management team had just signed up for the 30-day challenge and selected the debate maker discipline for their work. This time, when the urgent request came from senior management, the group prepared for a thorough debate to find a sustainable solution. They found in senior planners and the IT boot group, who usually had to scramble after the fact, who could give practical input to the feasibility of any suggested solutions. They framed the issues and set ground rules for debate, including no barriers to the thinking. The team challenged their assumptions and in the end developed a means of in-season forecasting that serves the new demands. The solutions they arrived at started as a wild idea, but with input from IT, it became a plausible reality. Investing in renewable energy. Gregory Powell was a thoughtful and intense MIT graduate with an MBA from Harvard who works as a manager in an alternate energy startup. Gregory is known for his ability to solve complex problems. As a reviewer of the early versions of this book, he admitted to feeling torn between his growing desire to lead like a multiplier and the mounting pressures he faced at work. He found a way through this dilemma by taking the 30-day challenge with a clear and focused target in mind. Gregory had recently hired Michael, a talented individual with rich experience as an employee of the Brazilian embassy, but wasn't fully utilizing him. Michael was the only team member working remotely and was often out of sight, out of mind. Michael estimated he was being utilized at the 20 to 25% mark. Gregory began the challenge by making a few simple investments. He gave Michael full ownership for capturing the Brazilian partnership strategy on paper for a critical board meeting. He then integrated Michael virtually into company-wide meetings so his ideas could be heard. He touched base with him often, but didn't take over his work. Within just a couple of weeks, Michael said he felt like he was being utilized at 75 to 80%. This represented a threefold utilization gain. Yet the real gain, according to Gregory, came from a slight change in perspective. Once he started looking at the people around him through the lens of a multiplier, he said that opportunities started presenting themselves. Instead of feeling frustrated at having to step in and redo work, he found ways to help other people take their thinking to the next level. He could take charge without taking over. He began to do things differently because he began to see his role differently. Greg McKeown and I have been inspired as we witness senior leaders and frontline managers taking the 30-day challenge. It was interesting to read their journals as they documented their struggles and successes. In many cases, these leaders have been generously willing to publish their experiences here and online at www.multipliersbook.com. Here you can check out their stories, download tools to take the 30-day challenge yourself, and share your success. It is possible to join the community of leaders taking the Multiplier Challenge once again at multipliersbook.com. Sustaining momentum. Taking a 30-day challenge will put you on the multiplier path and will produce initial traction and momentum. But it takes more than a quick win to truly become a multiplier. Sustaining the momentum takes repetition time and reinforcement. Number one, build it layer by layer. Very similar to how 3D printing proceeds, by the way. I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard Bolero, the classical music composition by Maurice Ravel. Its stark simplicity and powerful conclusion made a lasting impression on me. The piece, which Ravel himself described as containing almost no music, is an exploration of repetition and crescendo. It consists of a simple two-part melody repeated 18 times over the course of 15 minutes. In each repetition, a new instrument is added as the orchestra plays with increased energy, growing more insistent and louder. It opens simply with two flutes. Then in comes a bassoon. Then another layer is added with the clarinet, and then an oboe, and next a trumpet. Soon, there are strings, woodwinds, and brass to vary the texture of the music. With each new layer of instruments, momentum and energy build. The piece, which began softly with only the sound of a flute, culminates as the entire orchestra sounds the simple theme and ends with a booming crescendo in the last 4,037 drum beats is heard. Mastery of skills like those of the multiplier is developed in much the same way that Bolero unfolds a layer at a time. Building on the simple tune, a leader begins with a simple assumption and a singular idea that people are smart, and the job of the leader is to draw out intelligence of the others. With a simple idea, leaders begin by restraining themselves more and listening to others. Then they might start asking more questions. They become skilled in the art of asking the right questions and begin posing the most difficult questions that challenge the underlying assumptions of the organization. They then use the questions to seed and establish challenges for the organization. Next, they bring the sense of challenge and inquiry into key decisions and become masterful debate makers. Like the instruments in Bolero, by adding those skills a layer at a time, they achieve mastery and have a powerful effect on others. Becoming a multiplier is achieved with a single idea, repeated over and over, while new skills are introduced and orchestrated into a leadership gestalt. 2. Stay with it for a year. Momentum can be built quickly. Mastery takes time. In his book Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell introduces the 10,000-hour rule. Citing the research of Anders Ericsson and others that claim that the development of expertise or greatness is a function of practice and time, usually about 10,000 hours of practice, to be exact. While true mastery indeed develops over years of regular practice, a foundation or baseline of capabilities can be established in 1 year of consistent, purposeful effort. An insightful colleague, Dinesh Chandra, once observed that the best work is done when one can hold a single question for a long time. Dinesh is known for asking, "What is the question that you are asking yourself this year?" Each year he carries with him a question that challenges his thinking and sparks learning. Inspired by Dinesh a couple of years ago, I adopted an intriguing question for myself. How is what I know getting in the way of what I don't know? By simply asking this question, I was compelled to venture beyond the realm of my own understanding. Holding this question for a year, actually, I'm still working on it, to tell the truth, and asking it in numerous settings has helped me transcend the limitations of my own knowledge and find ways to better see and access the intelligence of others. In the spirit of the multiplier, I might adapt an annual question such as, "What would cause other people to become smarter and more capable around me? What could people figure out on their own if I just gave them more space? How can I get the full brain power of my team or organization?" Or simply, "How can I multiply the intelligence of others?" Assuming these questions once or twice is interesting. Continuing to ask them again and again during the course of a year or longer creates deep learning and builds the hours of practice necessary to achieve mastery.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book Multipliers, How the Best Leaders Make Everyone Smarter by Liz Wiseman, with a foreword by Stephen Covey. Number three in the chapter Becoming a Multiplier, number three is Building a Community. When three friends decided all they wanted to earn, they all wanted to earn a black belt in judo, they enthusiastically signed up for the challenge together and agreed to rotate, driving each other to the gym. But as the week in and week out training relentlessly continued, their motivation waned. Despite the pull to quit, all three continued with their training, reaching black belt status together. Their explanation was simple. Each week, at least one person didn't feel like going, but no one wanted to let the others down. Positive peer pressure is a powerful way to sustain momentum in any endeavor. It is, in its own right, a lazy way idea for becoming a multiplier. The most successful participants of the 30-day challenge have worked collectively or have a partner who served as both a sounding board and an accountability point. Experimenting with the power of community in your own organization is a way to spark and sustain momentum. You might start small by finding a couple of colleagues or friends who read this book and want to take the challenge. You might then create an online learning community, or you may choose to join a community of leaders around the world who aspire to lead like a multiplier. I've also often wondered what type of online community a team of multipliers could possibly create. How would they make it safe for people to share their best thinking and their boldest ideas? How would challenges get established, and how would debate happen? How would this community attract and develop talent and share ownership? By joining forces with a community, you need not have all the answers or even all the questions. You can look to the genius of the group to guide you. The Multiplier Effect Revisited. When Greg and I teach the multiplier ideas to teams and organizations, we often ask the question, does any of this matter? How does leading like a multiplier matter to you and to your organization, or even to the world at large? Let's consider each in turn. First, it matters to you because people will give you more. The research showed consistently that even high-performing people give multipliers two times more than they give their diminisher counterparts. People don't give a little more. In fact, they give a lot more. They give all their discretionary effort and mental energy. to multipliers. They dig deep and access reserves of brain power that they alone know exist. They apply the full measure of their intelligence. They reason more clearly, comprehend more completely, and learn more quickly. In the process, they get smarter and more capable. Your people will give you more, and in return, they get a richly satisfying experience. Exhausting but exhilarating captures, in general, what people continuously told us what it was like to work for a multiplier. One woman said, "It was exhausting, but I was always ready to do it again and again." It is not a burnout experience. It is a build-up experience. As you become more of a multiplier, people will flock to you because you will be the boss to work for. You will become a talent magnet, drawing in and developing talent while providing extraordinary returns to the company as well as to the individual who works for you. Second, it matters to the organization you work for. Many organizations face the double whammy of new challenges and insufficient resources. Perhaps you can relate to one startup that experienced years of extraordinary growth. Their strategy has been to throw people at the problem. But as their growth declined, they had to try to outperform their market without adding headcounts. Suddenly, resource leverage was as strategically important as resource allocation. A leader of a Fortune 500 company recently shared with us that in one particular division, one in three of his people was utilized below the 20% level. Organizations led by multipliers can more than double the capabilities of their people and hence the capabilities of their organizations. This is a particularly timely message. In down markets and times of scarcity, managers must find ways to get more capabilities and productivity from their current resources. Corporations and organizations desperately need managers who can migrate from the logic of addition, where more resources are required to handle the increased demands, to the logic of multiplication, where leaders can more fully extract the capabilities of their current resources. Resource leverage has the power of relevancy. It is timely, but is also timeless. It is timeless because even in times of abundance and growth, companies need leaders who can multiply the intelligence and capabilities of their colleagues and increase the brain power of the organization to meet its urgently needed growth demands. In down markets or growth markets, leading like a multiplier matters significantly to the organization that you work for. Third, leading like a multiplier matters to the world at large. Albert Einstein is credited with saying, "The significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them." But what if we could access twice as much of the available intelligence and channel it to the perennial problems we face? What solutions could we generate if we could access the underutilized brain power in the world? Surely we need leaders who can extract and utilize all available intelligence and solve most complex and vital challenges. Leading like a multiplier matters to the world at large. Genius or genius maker? When Philippe Petit illegally connected a tightrope wire between the 1,368-foot Twin Towers in New York City, he still had the chance to change his mind. The moment of truth came later when he stood with one foot still on the building and the other on the wire in front of him. The wire was bouncing up and down from the airflow between the buildings. His weight was still on his back leg. Recall once more how Petit described that critical moment as he stood on the edge overlooking the chasm. He reflected, I had to make a decision of shifting my weight from one foot anchored to the building to the foot anchored on the wire. Something I could not resist called me out on that cable. He shifted his weight gently and took the first step. At the conclusion of this book, you may feel like Petit, with one foot anchored to the building of the status quo and the other anchored to the wire of change. You can remove your foot from the wire, lean back, and continue to lead the way you have in the past. Or you can shift your weight onto the wire and begin to lead more like a multiplier. Inertia will keep you on the building where it is comfortable and safe. But for many of us, there's also a force pulling us out onto the wire and to a more impactful and fulfilling way of leading others. Will you shift your weight? Consider some of the multipliers who have made it across. Entrepreneurs Thomas and Andreas Strongman, who built billions of dollars of value in their company on their ability to find and develop the natural genius in others. History teacher Patrick Kelly, who creates an environment that draws out his students' very best thinking and work, and whose 98% of students score at the proficient or advanced levels in state tests. Nobel laureate Wangari Maathai, who started small by planting seven seedling trees, but eventually created an irresistible challenge that resulted in 40 million trees being planted across Africa. Activist Ela Blatt, SEWA founder and now member of the esteemed group, The Elders, established by the Nelson Mandela, who built up leaders to fully own and guide organizations that she began. Leading like a multiplier is a choice we encounter daily or perhaps in each moment. And the question I can leave you with is, what choices are you making? And how will these choices affect the people around you? Is it possible that the choice you make about how to lead can impact not just your team or even your immediate sphere of influence, but actually generations to come, as Native groups believe that each decision should be made with the thought of seven generations in the future? A single accidental diminisher turned multiplier could have a profound and far-reaching impact in a world where the challenges are so great and our full intelligence underutilized. So we're going to be looking at this in more detail in future shows. So please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF